called the Cupid Shuffle. Just give it a chance. Step, step, front, front, step, step, back, back. That's the first part of the Cupid Shuffle, Jack. You know, a lot of people said there's already a Cupid Shuffle, but guess what? I wrote this song in international waters. I hopped on a goddamn boat and evaded the IRS like I'm L. Ron Hubbard, okay? And 5, 6, 7, 8, okay, you all, we're almost there. Shuffle part 2, do it if you dare. Left, 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 left,
dear Lord.
It's Eric Andre. This is the next 2 hours. I say we start the show.
Welcome to Cord Killers, our mission to report the intel from the front lines of the cord cutting revolution so you have the information you need to be able to watch what you want, when you want, where you want, or whatever device you want. I'm Tom Merritt.
Hey man, I'm Brian Brushwood, and my minds are exploded at the back of my head because Michael Bolton, big sexy Valentine's Day special on Netflix is hilarious. It's hot and cold. I'm going to spoil it with my review up front. It's hot and cold, but when it's funny, it's very, very funny.
Did someone say sexy? Because joining us today on the show is Mr. Owen J.J. Stone, a.k.a. O-Doctor, in the shades.
You ain't never lied to the people, Mr. Tom Merritt. You ain't never lied to the people.
I try never to. Welcome to the show. Owen, it's good to have you back, man.
Man, I haven't been on here in a year. I got a Core Colors calendar, and it said, get your ass out on the show.
There's only one day on it, and that's all it says.
That's all it says.
Not a very useful calendar, but a good way to remind you to get back on the show.
One page
totally,
has replaced
totally not. Totally not. Just say, get back. I'm here.
Well, it's good to have you back, and we're going to dive right in with our primary target. Turns out people are watching broadcast, not cable, and no one has TVs anymore. Here are the actual numbers. Nielsen has their universe estimates out, saying that the median cable network lost 2.3% of its subscribers, and the broadcast universe grew about 1.7% year over year. They've got some numbers about which networks actually lost the most. That would be CMT at 9.8%. A few of them bucking the trend. Sundance and FXX both gained subscribers, 10.5% in Sundance's case. And then along with this, the U.S. Energy Information Agency, which puts out a survey of energy-using devices, so their whole point is just tell, like, this is the stuff that's sucking up all the power, compared to 2009, we have fewer TVs per household in the United States. In 2009, the average household had 2.6 TVs. In 2015, that's down to 2.3. And essentially, it's getting rid of extra TVs. More people have between one and two TVs than used to. And if that makes sense, because they used to have three and four. And so now when they answer the survey, they say, no, I just have between one and two now.
So, okay, this is one of those weird things where it's like we don't actually care about television. We care about the content that's on the television, right? It's hard to tell what this artifact means. It's not like we're entering a time machine and we're slowly regressing back to the 1980s, right? It's just that nowadays you can accomplish so much of what we used to rely on television for on your phone. It's the phone's shifting everything, right?
Yeah, well, phones, tablets and laptops too, but yeah, mostly phones. We've got other screens that we can use in other parts of the house that are easier, more convenient, and can do more things than an extra television.
Yeah,
and to be honest, when people buy TVs anymore, they buy like that big living room TV. And it's a thing to get somebody to leave from the 65-inch or 55-inch to go back into the room. And like my daughter, I had a 27-inch in her room. I'm spoiled, and I had to end up buying her a 40 because she just would never use it. She's like, it's so small. And I'm like, you look at a tablet or a phone all day. Why is it so? She's like, I don't know. The TV's just not big enough. So
what kind of TV did you have in your room growing up, Owen?
What kind of TV did I have growing up in the room?
Yeah.
It was called Books.
Yeah, right? Comic. No, exactly. Can you believe that? Same here.
So, yeah, they're spoiled. But, you know, she's out here with me all the time watching TV in the living room because it's just a bigger, it's the best TV in the house. And you can see the difference in the TV, so that's the one she likes to watch. I assume a lot of other people do the same thing now. They're like, look, we're not going to buy a whole bunch of TVs. We'll just buy one big, nice TV and then another one for somebody's bedroom or something and keep it pushing.
So you know what I'd be interested to find out is it mentions that or we mentioned that the broadcast stations are reaching more people now. They're seeing growth. But I'm assuming that very little of that is more people watching by the method of broadcast television.
No, that's a very good distinction. Ratings are not up for broadcast, but the universe of people that have access to broadcast is up because people are cutting the cord and putting up antennas.
That's wild, man. Since I last cut the cord, two years ago, after once hacking the system went off the air, I was done with cable television altogether. But
totally unrelated, but yes,
I put a antenna up, but I think since then I've only just watched a Super Bowl. Like that is the sum total of broadcast television that I've watched on that by that method, which is crazy to me.
And we got screens at every corner of our house, right, Owen?
Yeah, I still have a cable box, but I have Fios. I called them. I told them, like, look, I'm cutting the cable. I don't want nothing. I'm done. And they were like, well, why don't you just give us $5 and keep the box? We'll turn the DVR off. We'll double your internet speed up and down. And I'm like, wait, so you're going to take me from 130 to 75 and I can still keep the box? And they're like, yeah, we're just going to take away some of the channels. What do you like? I was like, I need sports. So I still got all my sports channels at AMC so I can watch The Walking Dead live. I'm out here balling for $75 a month. I'm going to keep this box forever. That's the only time I use it is for sports and like something live like that. But otherwise, everything else I watch on the internet on my PlayStation or my Apple TV. But $75, man, whoever did that deal for me is just silly because I think they made a mistake. But that's what my bill is every month, so I'm keeping
the box. But that can only go so long. Those deals are meant to slow the slide at this point. And if you benefit from it, that's great. But that's not going to stop the trend.
No, it's cheaper. Again, I don't even know how I got that because I told other people to try and get it. Like you said, it's not something they give often because I tried to tell other people, oh, just ask for this package. And like they don't have that anymore. So you are correct as though they're changing because my biggest thing, I need sports. So when you end up paying for all these nickel and dime packages, I might as well keep cable TV when I need to watch basketball and football and stuff like that.
Yep.
I don't know, man. It depends on the market. PlayStation View is pretty compelling in some places. Depending on the sports, Sling TV can be pretty compelling. But it's that I don't want to have to think about it. I don't want to have to look at the package that keeps people on cable, whereas it's the flexibility that's moving them off. And slowly but surely, the flexibility is starting to win. So I don't know. We'll see. If you're in the right market, PlayStation View has ESPN. It has Fox Sports. It has your local regional sports network. Like, It's got TNT, like it's got most of the sports covered.
This is so difficult because all the things I want to say will be stealing from the rest of the stories that we have coming up.
We should just move on. We've got a bunch of other stories that fall right along these lines. But first, we wouldn't have any stories if it weren't for the folks at patreon.com/cordkillers giving us a little bit of help every month.
Yeah, 1,741 of you beautiful, beautiful people make it possible for us to stay loud, live, and independent. Thank you if you're one of those folks.
Yeah, you guys are the best. If you get some value out of the show, all we ask, give a little value back. Patreon.com/cordkillers. Big thanks to everybody who does. Let's talk about how to watch. So this isn't going to help you, Owen, but there's another package coming that you'll have to think about and compare to other stuff. YouTube announced YouTube TV. It's not out yet. But they gave us some of the details. It'll combine live content from broadcast and cable networks with all YouTube content. So that's their big advantage of you'll be able to get the channels that you would get maybe on a Sling or a PlayStation View, but you'll also get YouTube. It'll all be in one app together. Interestingly, they've got the networks from ABC, so that includes ESPN, CBS, that includes Showtime, Fox, that includes FX, and NBC, so that includes Bravo, right? So and Sci-Fi and all of that. But that's it. They don't have Turner. They don't have Viacom. They don't have AMC Discovery or A&E, at least not yet. It'll be available on all the same platforms that YouTube currently exists on. That's what Google said. And we'll have unlimited cloud DVR storage. It's separate from YouTube Red. YouTube Red is still going to be a package that you pay for to get access to music and commercial-free YouTube videos. But you will be able to get all of YouTube Red's original programming on YouTube TV, and it's coming sometime this spring, starting at $35 a month. That gets you up to six user profiles, and three simultaneous streams.
So when you say you'll be able to get YouTube Red programming, does that mean you don't get the YouTube Red experience? Do you get the full experience of YouTube Red? Like when you log in, you don't have to look at commercials anymore?
No, see, it's not that. It's not the commercial-free thing. It's just the programs will be available on the YouTube TV service somehow.
Oh, man. I just went from thinking this was brilliant to thinking it's just dumb.
If you want the YouTube Red experience, it's $45 a month because you have to pay for YouTube Red.
Right. Well, yeah. In other words, if you want YouTube Red, then buy YouTube Red. Because I thought when I read this, I forgot about the ad-free experience on YouTube Red, but YouTube Red is in that very challenging, you've heard me mention the mushy middle, is the one place you don't want to be on marketing. You want to be either the cheapest thing or the most expensive luxury thing. And YouTube Red is a marginal benefit. Okay, so on the one hand, it's insane for YouTube to get into the essentially become a cable provider because it's a new media format selling old media packages. But I liked it when I thought of it as a sneaky way to get people into YouTube Red because YouTube Red is something that we're all accustomed to. And in fact, if somebody's in love with their YouTube Red experience, please write and let me know. I would love to know why.
I am.
Okay. Right on. You got it through a Google Play thing, right?
I was paying for Google Music, which is $10 a month. And suddenly I got no more ads on YouTube. So, yes, totally in love with that.
Right. Okay. But you did not make the conscious decision to, I'm going to start paying money so that I could stop seeing ads and I'm buying it for that and so on. This seemed like a really good, sneaky way to make YouTube Red much more attractive, where it's like, well, I have to have a cable thingy anyway. These guys are about as good as everyone else. Let me just do that, and at least I'll get YouTube Red along the way. But knowing that it's not an ad-free experience changes.
But you do get YouTube Red programming, which is what most people think of. Most people don't think about the commercial-free part of it.
Correct. What about you, Owen?
I think this is the worst thing that YouTube could be doing, and scratch that with the best thing. This is the long con. Again, I judge everything through the eyes of someone more youthful than me. My daughter only watches YouTube, period, by herself. She has Hulu, Netflix, my Plex server. She has all these things at her fingertips. But when she's on her own, all she watches is YouTube. So if YouTube is doing this, and for people that want to get into that atmosphere, it might be a place where she'll end up watching some of the other shows she watches on TV. Like at some point, if they ever got a CBS or, you know what I mean, some of the channels they don't have, that program, it'll bring that into her viewing area. So kids that are growing up in the YouTube bubble will transform and translate into this product, at which point hopefully YouTube has acquired more networks and more TV shows. That's where I see this being valuable for YouTube to be doing. Otherwise, I think it's silly. But down the road, with all these little kids growing up being YouTube junkies and they're like, Netflix, who, Grandpa? I see the value.
You know, I said this wouldn't be good for you, but I take it back. If you don't care about the NBA, it might be good for you. It doesn't have Turner networks, right? Yeah. And so it's not going to have a little bit of baseball. It's not going to have a little bit of basketball, but it's got NBC. It's got ABC, CBS. It's got ESPN. It's got Fox Sports. It's going to have regional channels from Comcast and Fox Sports. So it's going to cover a big chunk of the sports universe, too.
A big chunk isn't all of it, Tom. So for right now, I'm still stuck in the dinosaur land. I do a sports show Monday nights on Diamond Club at 9:30, so I have to have all the sports available to me. Shameless plug. I'm just saying that's what it is, Tom. But I see what you're saying. To get me close. That's what I mean. I have to have multiple things to get everything I want. And so right now, sports is what has me still having that cable box plugged in, which I hardly ever use except for to watch games.
I'm just curious if PlayStation View wouldn't cover everything you have, too. But I don't know what the local sports situation in Philly is.
The cost difference didn't work out to where it would be useful to me. Again, right now I'm paying $75 for 150 up and 150 down. I have all my sports channels. So if that's the only thing I'm using it for and everything else, I use Netflix, Hulu, et cetera, then why would I go play View $40 when my bill's not going to get any lower than $75? Literally, right. The internet alone was $69 just for that internet.
Yeah.
They're charging me $6. So it's that package they threw at you.
Got it.
Yeah. So until that deal runs out.
I'm looking forward to seeing what this interface looks like, too, because that's part of it as well. Unlimited DVR is good. That's something they should launch with. If it does cover the channels you want, then this is pretty compelling at $35 a month. But what isn't included at $35 a month? What does the thing look like? How easy is it to use? We don't know any of that yet.
So unlimited DVR, I guess, means like theoretically what it should mean is we record everything on all channels at all times. You can time travel to any channel, to any program, to see anything. But my guess is that's not what the actual
experience is. No, unlimited DVR doesn't ever mean that.
Right,
right. Unlimited DVR means you have access to a DVR with endless space.
Correct, correct.
You want to record your stuff? Go for it. But you still have to set the season passes and tell it what to record.
Right. Okay, which all feels so kind of silly and weird to me. Because, like, if what they're doing is okay, you have to know in advance what you want to watch and put a thing on there. Like, why not just record
also,
all the
I'm
things?
I'm sure there will also be on demand for the things that you...
Why not have everything just be on demand like Hulu, but it's live at the same time? We live in a magical time world. What you got me setting season passes for?
Yeah,
if I go click the show, I watch the show. Brian knows what we talk about. Okay. I see you, Brian. I see you.
Well, Hulu Hulu works because you get commercial free, right? You can pay for a commercial free tier. And that goes back to what Brian's saying. There should be a little YouTube commercial free version of this. But if YouTube works like all the rest of these, it'll have on demand. The only difference is when you go watch an on demand version, you can't fast forward through the commercials. When you watch a DVR version, you can.
Yeah, I don't even know that I hate
it. It's rare that.
Sorry, go ahead.
Say, it's rare that I say this, but I like the way Brian sounded over the way you just sounded, Tom. I'm sticking with Brian on this.
That's one for the good guys.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just telling you facts. I'm not trying to pick a side.
We don't like facts. We like what Brian said. We like the way it feels. Okay.
Your facts, and I'm fantasies, and this is our show.
That's exactly how it goes. I like the way it feels. I don't want to know how it should be. I want to know how it could be.
Yeah, and it could be that you just get to pick anything and watch it commercial free. That's Hulu. You just described that. The question is, can you get enough people to give you the rights? The only reason Hulu is able to do that is because they're owned by 3/4 of people given the rights,
right.
And they just lost the CW. So now the CW is a place where you can't watch anything, and with your cable, you don't get any of that commercial free ever either. You still have to record it on a DVR and fast forward to it. So there isn't any particular service out there that does the fantasy that you're talking about.
Correct. But I don't understand. I totally understand. The reason is because there's a legal framework that protects the DVR experience going all the way back to the Betamax case in the 1970s or whatever. And it's like a DVR, a cloud-based DVR has to act kind of like a physically based DVR, which has to act kind of like a VHS cassette recording system, which has to work exactly under the framework of the Betamax case to make all of this legal and so on. But outside of that, I can think of no technical reason why.
Well, I'm not even sure it's that. I mean, I think it would be legal for YouTube or PlayStation or anybody to have a button that says record all my channels all the time. If they wanted to provide a like literally unlimited DVR, Dish did that. That was their primetime hopper thing on their satellite service. It wasn't illegal. The problem was none of the license holders wanted to have their channels available on that service. And so YouTube, when they go to say, hey, we want to strike a deal, bring you into their service.
Yeah, they don't want to be the guys.
Get them to agree.
Right.
If they're like, wait a minute, are you doing this record everything thing? Because if that's the case, no, I'm out.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not
illegal. Live in the real world.
It's not a legal constraint. It's a social constraint. It's basically They're just not at a place where shareholders want to invest in something that nutty and
well, I don't even know if it's up to the shareholders. It's just a business deal. Like we want to make sure as many of our commercials get seen as possible, and so we will agree to this much, but no farther.
Yeah.
But if it's DVRing, you're still going to either watch the commercial or fast forward. If every show's on demand, and you still have the option to watch the commercial or fast forward through the commercials. You selecting which show you want to watch is no different than having the show available and ready for me right there. I understand what you're saying, Tom Merritt, but you see these ears. Fantasyland is where it's at.
Yeah.
I just want it to be that way.
He's leaving.
I hope we could all live there someday.
By the way, that day may come sooner than you think, because if I recall correctly, and I could be totally wrong, there are metrics that indicate that in many ways the ads on YouTube that you could skip after 5 seconds are more valued than the ones where people sit through the entire thing, specifically because if they engage and click and skip the ad, then the advertisers know for a fact that they definitely watched that 5 seconds. They now know there's a Lego Batman movie coming, no matter what. So,
and honestly, if YouTube or anybody can make that part of the on-demand experience, that's going to be a big win. But that it's a big, big steamboat. It's a big freaking, ocean liner to turn the advertising service that way, because right now it's all still built on iWatch Live as it's broadcast and see the ads. And that's what people are still paying for.
There's a lot of machinery that has to be dismantled before we get to that Fantasyland. Well, sorry.
That feature's not even in the TV version of the YouTube app.
Oh, no. Correct. I'm saying
I agree with you, but like also
this is me just ruminating and sitting on my porch with my rocking chair saying how things
Brian's
ought to
putting
be.
His own ears on and heading to a different Fantasyland.
That's how we do it.
Oh, you got the ears off now. All right, time to watch What to Watch, which is our Under Surveillance segment.
Like you say, it's all about location.
Under Surveillance.
Don't go out on March 17th. It's amateur night. Stay at home and watch 5 new pilot TV shows from Amazon. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, written and directed by Gilmore Girls creator Amy Sherman-Palladino, about a 1958 housewife trying to make it as a Greenwich Village comedian with Rachel Brosnahan from House of Cards and Tony Shalhoub as her father. Oasis is another show based on Michael Faber's The Book of Strange New Things, starring Game of Thrones' Richard Madden traveling to a distant planet to establish a colony. And the other three are all animated half-hour comedies. The other three are all half-hour comedies, one of which is animated. Legend of Master Legends, about a Las Vegas street hero. Budding Prospects, about city boys growing pot in Northern California. And The New VIPs, that's the animated one, about low-level employees getting control of their company after accidentally killing their boss. Oh, and J.J. Stone, do any of these sound like a better time than going out on St. Patrick's Day to you?
The boss killing and the pot dealing. I'll take those two for 500.
The 2 half-hour comedies.
Yes.
Brian?
You know what's funny is I can't even tell you. I just realized, like, I heard that list and all I thought of is like, the internet will tell me which is the best. Like social media as a buzz indicator. Well, like that's how Stranger Things happened.
Well, and that's why Amazon does the pilot season, is so that you'll watch them and tell them which ones you like so they know which ones to pick up. Which is funny, but I just think that's funny because you're like, hey, I'm going to be Amazon. I'll just let people watch it and tell me which ones are
exactly,
worth my time.
Exactly. It's like they're onto something with this. It's like I don't want to get emotionally invested in something that might be total garbage.
But then if everybody does that, what happens?
Well, not everybody's going to do that because not everybody has to watch as much content as you guys do. I prefer to watch all these pilots just because I want to know for myself what's good because, again, taste is varying, and sometimes you can't trust the internet. Brian's out here bashing Lego Batman with putting some weird dreams in my mind about the cartoon for kids, so you can't trust everybody. Sometimes you got to check it out for yourself.
Very true. Very true. So all of you should watch Amazon's pilot season and let us know, Brian and Tom, which ones we should
There you
watch.
Go. On the nose. Back to Fantasyland. I'm glad to have you back, Tom. This is great.
It's good to be here. CNN is introducing an expanded lineup of original shows to its CNN Go streaming platform. That used to be available only to authenticated cable subscribers. Now it's available without a cable subscription. So this is essentially CNN for cord cutters. First of the new series is called Mostly Human with Laurie Segal. She's a tech correspondent for CNN. And they're trying to bill it as Black Mirror in real life, because Black Mirror is about real technology taken to extreme. I guess they're just going to look at the real technology. It's about people's relationships with technology. That starts March 12th.
This sounds really good, actually. This idea of edge cases of some of the, transhumanism and singularity talk and all that stuff. There's a lot of really interesting, very real human stories that can be told. And the more I think about it, I think CNN, I mean, I, I, the one thing I miss from cable is having the ability to turn on the news. And for the most part, it's fine to read stories on Twitter or Bloomberg or whatever. But part of me does wish there was just an always on fire hose of news. I think there might really be a strong niche for CNN Go. This, especially if they start developing good originals.
Yeah, I don't know if it gives you what you want, though, or if it's going to be these originals. It'll be interesting to see on March 12th how it actually is presented.
Yeah, yeah.
Lori, being a personal friend of mine, I know her back when she was a beat journalist at CNN and couldn't find her niche and or way, and now she has found her way with The Weird and Strange. If you look her up for CNN, you'll see a very interesting report on sex swinging in San Francisco and prostitution and too much money and all kinds of weird stuff. They've gotten her to do some creative things, so I'm interested in watching it just for that kind of content. It's something different that might be compelling to pull people in. And then once you're in, you got the app, you're used to the app, then it can throw some other stuff at you down the road. It's a good start.
And by the way, Brian, I mean, there is CBS News available without a cable subscription. You could just watch CBS News 24/7 if you're
waiting for
the news.
That's why I usually watch all the live stuff if I have to deal with 45.
Well, what's funny is CBS. I probably avail myself of it plenty, but it goes through that social filter. It's like the internet tells me this is what's happening now. Here's where you can see it, you know. And I know my experience is not universal, but if I want to know where a thing is, I just bark out into the void on Twitter, and then somebody hands me like, "Here, Grandpa, this is the right way to look," and then I'm watching it.
Yeah, so what happened case, you to Brian? Really need... He was in that earthquake. He didn't hear about it because people were too busy running instead of tweeting. You know,
again, if it's important, I figure where it'll get to me.
Netflix plans to release a comedy special every week for the rest of the year. They have deals with Dave Chappelle, Louis C.K., Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, Amy Schumer, and more. In fact, Dave Chappelle has two specials coming from his vault on March 21st. One was recorded in Austin in 2015 and one from last March in Hollywood. And he's also got an original one for Netflix coming later.
Dude, brilliant, brilliant. It's brilliant when they focus. Man, remember a billion years ago, back when that they announced that Eli Roth deal, that horror movie, the werewolf something or other. That was brilliant because they found a niche market that has a ravenous fan base that just whatever it is, as long as it's blood and guts, I want to see it. And then they got a big brand name. They are taking the whole world of comedy and saying, you are the anointed 52 who have, you're all of comedy now. And people who love comedy will be able to watch a comedy special every single week. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Smart, smart, smart. And plus also, dirt cheap to make. I mean, what do you need? Just a few couple of cameras and somebody who already has material who's thrilled to have the cachet of being on Netflix.
It's a $1 million show at the cheapest point. Think of Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart put himself on the map by putting his own money up, Hart Productions, and selling it to the network. But it cost him $1 million. Then he sold it for $5 million with a back-end return. So if you got to think the way cameras are and stuff like this, it might cost them, if $2 million to do it. So Netflix is just out here like, yeah, that's $50 million. HBO used to have to pay Chris Rock $50 million just to get him on the special and get him locked down.
Yep.
So if they can pay all this money out front and the cost is so cheap because they're not a network, it's a no-brainer for them and they're killing it.
I mean, at this point, they might as well.
If $1 million sounds cheap to you or sounds like a lot to you, that's way cheaper than doing 10 episodes of, say, House of Cards or something like that.
Oh, yeah. No, exactly. House of Cards, the budget was like, what, $140 million for the first season alone, I think? Yeah. It was crazy.
And then you got to think about if just a sitcom. Like, I was reading a thing about, a sitcom where there are five cast members. They all get paid $1 million an episode.
Mm.
So if there's 23 episodes in a season, wow. Those top five dudes are getting $5 million an episode. This is nothing compared
to
that.
Plus, think about this. That sitcom with the five Yahoos or whatever that you're paying,
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory, fine. So if you are establishing, hey, here's a good show in here. You should come in to see this good show. That's not the way it works in comedy. In comedy, you are accessing individual tribes because there are people who have been following these comedians for 20 or 30 years and they identify of like, oh, now I guess I have to get Netflix because finally my guy who I've been following has his big break or his latest thing or whatever.
And by the way, before we move on to the next story, these numbers are all generalities. We're not saying that Dave Chappelle only got paid $1 million. He got paid a lot more.
We have a black man on the podcast who's willing to say that's definitely what he got paid.
We were talking about the cost to make the product, not how much the artist gets paid via the product. The cost of making it.
How about this? A show about a missing child sets four families on a frantic hunt for answers. Their search for a culprit unearths a small town's sins and secrets. That's on Netflix. And I'm not talking about Stranger Things. This is a German series shot in Germany, in German, called Dark.
Place.
Coming this winter.
Okay. All right. All right. I don't know what to say about it.
This looks a problem because it seems to me that I would have to read. If it's their subtitles, I don't have time.
Yeah, it's in German. You're right.
I can't deal with a thriller and suspense where I have to read because it takes away from that emotion of the sound and the silence in the process. Plus, I don't know how to read.
I just love the idea that somebody out there, again, to your niche idea, Brian, somebody out there is like, Stranger Things is okay, but it's a little light.
Yes.
So Netflix is like, we have these Germans over here who have a version made just for you. Here you go.
Exactly.
And if it's like 3%, which was an all Brazilian production, you might get an English dub.
Well, and plus, keep in mind, I am convinced that part of the reason I thought Narcos was so great is that it's harder for me to judge the acting of someone because I don't know what nuance of inflection of voice I should be hearing. So instead, I take everything at face value. And much like reading a book, you project the awesomest version that you can imagine onto it as you read it, it gets elevated. So I like subtitled shows.
And we may have mentioned this before. I'm sure you all remember us talking about Netflix getting a Brad Pitt movie. Well, we've got a teaser trailer out, War Machine, starring Brad Pitt as General Glenn McMahon. It's a comedy set in the war in Afghanistan based on the 2012 bestseller The Operators, which is about retired General Stanley McChrystal. The movie comes out May 26th.
Rad. I am sure it'll be great. Brad Pitt is in that very, very select group of people who I will trust a movie just because he's in it.
Can't spell Brad without rad.
That's the title of the episode.
This is my favorite form factor of Brad Pitt. This is like just the coolest, funnest guy in the world other than Ryan Gosling, because I'm in love with Ryan Gosling, that you just want to hang around. When he walks into the room and the other general, whoever's on the phone, and he just kicks back, puts his feet on his desk, and he's like, don't worry, I'll wait. It's just a war going on. No worries. Like, and he just leans back. Like, he's such a jerk, and he's so smug, and his he's just so good at that character. So I'm all in for this.
Awesome.
All right, before we get to what we've been watching, let's check in with Iaz from CNET on what's coming around the bend.
Hey, Core Killers, it's already a new month, so let's see what's coming up. Iron Fist arrives on Netflix on March 17th. It's yet another Marvel show that takes place in the same universe as Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and the Avengers. Like most Netflix shows, the full season lands on the same day. That's 13 episodes to binge watch. Netflix also has the second season of Love starting on March 10th. The Judd Apatow series stars Jillian Jacobs and Paul Rust playing a couple in a pretty unhealthy relationship. It's sometimes cringeworthy, but otherwise quite funny. Lucha Underground seasons 1 and 2 hit Netflix on March 15th. It's a wrestling show unlike a lot of others out there. If you can't wait to stream newer things on Netflix, watch the first 3 Jurassic Park movies. They hit Netflix on March 1st. Over on Hulu, watch the Karate Kid trilogy. It was added on the 1st of March, but beware. Karate Kid Part 3 is awful, like terrible, like just bad. Amazon has a handful of new titles in March. The highest profile one might be the 4th season of Orphan Black, which arrives on March 16th. For more information, go check out cnet.com/netpix. I'm Iaz Akhtar. You've known that. And I'll see you guys later.
Thank you, Iaz Akhtar. That's awesome. I feel all up to date now.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about what we've been watching, starting with you, Owen. What's been on your screen?
Billions. You guys probably still haven't watched it because I remember telling y'all last year about Billions. Billions,
a lot of people talking about Billions. It's about to bust through my filter of I'm about to feel like the internet has officially told me to watch Billions.
I've been suffering through Legion. It's a slow crawl, but I'm still watching because I used to read the comic book, so I'm suffering. Lethal Weapon. Yo, Lethal Weapon, it's the cheesy comedy of the year, bro. Like, I cried twice. Like, it's so good. Lethal Weapon is so good. And then I'm watching Sneaky Pete on Amazon, and I'm rewatching Smallville. I'm currently on season 6 with my daughter. We bang out about 4 or 5 episodes a week. But definitely check out Lethal Weapon, and definitely check out Billions.
Awesome.
Just oh, man, I'm glad you said that about Legion, because I watched the first one, and I liked it. But
no, the second one, bro, the second one's going to make you upset. Like, it's just like you're sitting there looking at it, you're like, why? Okay. I know this is going to be good. I believe in you. And then you just watch it, and you suffer. And then the third one makes you suffer. The fourth one's queued up, but it's rough haul, bro. But the payoff, I believe in the payoff. So,
all right.
Got a deal.
A little bit like the preacher there. Brian, what have you been watching?
Dude, I got sick this week, which meant I watched a lot more TV than usual. Of course, watched The Expanse, Justified, and we'll talk about those. Saw Logan, saw Get Out. We'll talk about those later on. A couple of documentaries. Smartest Guys in the Room, the Enron documentary, didn't age as well as I would have thought, because it was, made 2005, 2006, shortly after the fallout of Enron crushing down. I don't know. It just doesn't hold up. It's like they don't do a good job of explaining exactly what they did wrong. And so it just looks like a bunch of people making bad business decisions and a company. I don't know. It was tough. They did a poor job of making me care about the story. However, a deeply human, awesome story. It's good enough documentary filmmaking, but the story itself is amazing. Is Deep Water, about the 1969 race, or 1968-69 race around the world for one person in a sailboat, and the money prize and the investors that went into it, and the very strange tale that emerges. It's whatever it is you're thinking, it's not that.
All right. I've been watching less this week. It must be a universal thing. Like, there's only so much television that Brian and I can watch combined. Yeah. So since he watched more, I watched less. But I did. I keep watching Saturday Night Live. I've somehow got back in the habit of watching it, so much so that I can now tell Mikey Day and Alex Moffat apart.
Those are two names.
Yeah. I had to go look up Alex Moffat's name. I'm sorry, Alex Moffat. Also, we watched Jackie. That was one of the Oscar-nominated movies with Natalie Portman playing Jackie Kennedy, about her time around the Kennedy assassination. Two things. One is they did an amazing job of telling a story that many of us have heard told a million times and making it new, because they spent almost zero time on the actual assassination itself. And the man who plays John Kennedy, who looks dead ringer for him, by the way, and it's kind of a waste, is barely in the movie. I think he may have one line. It's all about Jackie. And I thought it was something I might, play a little Legend of Zelda while we watch, and just kind of keep my eye on it, and totally sucked me in. Yeah. I was an hour into the movie before I realized that I hadn't picked up the Nintendo Switch yet.
I liked it a lot too. I did think it was weird. They very much tiptoe around the actual moment of assassination. And then I thought it was a weird turn to, after 70 minutes of me coming to grips with the fact that this is not about the assassination. This is about the ripples that it caused in the personal lives of everyone around. When they just randomly go to graphic Saving Private Ryan style in the moment shot, it felt gratuitous and unnecessary and gross to me.
Not strike me that way at all, actually. The description struck me more gratuitous than the depiction did when she's talking about it beforehand. And one thing that hit me was, like, this is the story of Jackie. And I don't know that I've ever really properly heard the story of Jackie. The idea of her coming back to the White House and being on Air Force One and realizing she's not the First Lady anymore through no fault of her own.
Yeah.
She has no standing suddenly. And then to be in the White House and sort of like, we'll be nice and let you stay here, to get your things together. But again, you aren't to anyone. I think that was really a powerful part of that movie.
Yeah. Well, and it was really interesting to see her assert, like, one domain, whereas just like, you can't take this from me. I will design my late husband's send off, you know?
I will be in control of this one thing. Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
I was going to be the adult in the room and just remind Tom that you have work to do, and that work is to watch these shows. You're going to have to worry about that switch on another time, okay, sir? You got a job to do. I know what you're doing over there in these streets.
No. You're getting me all wrong, Owen. This is a test that I put a movie to. Like, can it keep the switch out of my hands, right? Jackie passed the test. That's all I'm saying.
I believe in you. Oh, there you go. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. All right. Yes, Bryce, what have you been on the lookout for?
Hey, so I was busy also playing Zelda all weekend, but I do have a picture,
junkies.
Guys.
Look at these junkies.
And actually, I was tipped off to this by our friend Brand Hughes. That 10 Cloverfield Lane is on Amazon Prime Video now.
Oh, wow.
What's that? Yeah. This is from Dan Trachtenberg, who you might know from that amazing Portal short or TRS.
Or this show.
Or this show even. Yeah, yeah. So 10 Cloverfield Lane is a sequel to Cloverfield in name only, and even then barely. It's not a monster movie like the first one. It is really a character study of people who are in a very prolonged crisis event, right? If you were in a doomsday scenario and you found yourself in the safety of a bunker, what do you do when you have no contact with the outside world? How do you protect yourself while also trying to, you know, survive in this sort of glass bottle, basically? It's really cool, and I think between being kind of horror-y and the suspense of not knowing what's on the other side of the bunker, I think that there's really a lot of second guessing that the movie makes you go through pretty much until the end of the movie. I think it's really cool. So 10 Cloverfield Lane is now on Amazon Prime Video. It's on Epix right now, and it's also on Hulu. So if you I don't know if it's on the free version. They don't even have the free version of Hulu anymore, do they?
Yeah.
It's on Hulu also, so check it out.
Hey, folks, if you got something we should be on the lookout for, email us, cordkillers@gmail.com. Real quickly, I've got a book out. Its official release date is March 14th. It's a novel about a time ship pilot named Pilot X who gets thrust into a horrible decision about saving the universe. And some people are saying it's actually out on shelves right now. Some guy said they picked it up at Chapters in Canada. So you may look around in bookstores near you. It might actually already be out, but you can order it on Amazon. It's available for Kindle and Audible. And it's on BarnesandNoble.com. And I don't know. If you'd like a story about time travel that tried to stay pretty true to what time travel's physics tries to say, but doesn't spend a long time on that, is really just the story of a pilot and a fun time ship and hints at a wider world, you might check out Pilot X.
All right. Look, knock it off, Tom. This guy's too humble to say it. Every single person, if you are a human being hearing my voice, go buy it, rate it 5 stars, tell the whole world that it's the best thing ever.
Yeah, do rate it 5 stars no matter what you think of it. That would be helpful.
Right.
Let's move on to the front lines.
Front lines!
Sony launched a multi-view feature for PlayStation View. At least for now, it's only on the PS4. We'll see. It's up to 3 channels playing on the screen simultaneously with audio from the primary channel, which is kind of in the largest box to the left and the other 2 showing on the right. This is particularly for sports, I suppose.
Yeah, although it's not depicted as necessarily sports here. I mean, that one of them is sports, one is news, and then the other is Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Also, this is the living embodiment of what was meant as wacky satire in Back to the Future Part 2.
I didn't think of it as another Back to the Future Part 2 allusion. You're absolutely right. I don't know. Owen, you're a sports watcher. Is this something attractive to you?
Yes. In general, it works. Again, it's just like I'm lazy. So for the sports that I'm watching, PlayStation and Sony are doing the best job that I've seen for the right package you can get.
I'll say
this. Do you want to see 3 things at once out of your app, though? That's really what the question is.
No.
You say that, but then a 9/11 happens and you wish you had all the channels at once.
I suppose, yeah. I mean, I look at this and I see something that looks really cool, But every other time I've had a picture-in-picture thing come to a television or to my tablet, I use it the first day it's out, and I think it looks really cool, and I never use it again.
So the way picture-in-picture really works is I have a 65-inch TV across from me, and then I have that 27-inch that my daughter doesn't use, and I watch television on a 27-inch while I play video games on the 65-inch. Kids come over, and they think it's the best thing in the world, but that's because I'm doing something active, like as you were playing Zelda being a junkie, and I can consume Jackie at the same time, watching one over top of the other. I turn the sound down on the Zelda, keep the sound on the movie, and then rock out. This, yep. On the other hand, if I got ADD machine, like how am I watching three different things? And most sports games go back to back now. They don't run them simulcast.
You're right. Because I guarantee you, most people can get the same effect just by sitting in front of a television with a laptop and a cell phone in front of them, and they can watch three different streams of whatever at the same time.
Yeah, this is my picture in picture. I put something on my smartphone.
Yep.
And then I've got the other thing up on the big screen.
I watch movies like that all the time. I watched Hidden Fences like that the other day while I was working. I had Hidden Fences playing on my phone, and I was sitting there typing away, editing stuff. So,
yeah. Meanwhile, Hulu announced it'll offer 24-hour, 7 days a week customer support starting March 12th. Hulu also plans to open a customer service center in New Mexico or Texas to bring its customer service staff from 200 to 300 and hit 500 by 2018. Customer service with actual human beings. Crazy.
Yeah. YouTube TV is going to do that too. You're going to be able to call them talk to them about your account.
Dude, by the way, I got Modern Rogue got big enough that we got assigned a guy who's able to fix problems. We've not been able to collect any of our AdSense revenue because they have an old address and there's something weird in their thing. And it's amazing. I'm like, oh my God, let me talk to my guy. Bleep, blop, bloop. Can I have money?
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
I mean, the idea of this is smart. I mean, also Hulu put this out like the minute YouTube TV was announced to be like, hey, we have TV coming too. And we're going to have customer service people. But it is super smart to staff up on that because all of these launches, PlayStation, Sling, DirecTV, have all been marred by horrible experiences from people and bugs. And having someone on the phone that can help at least shoot down the minor bugs that aren't caused by some massive outage or software issue is really smart.
Yep, I agree.
NeverThink is a site and now an iOS app as of this week that takes content from YouTube, Reddit, and elsewhere around the internet and turns it into unskippable channels. So it's a little like what Pluto.tv is doing. NeverThink has around 30 channels, and the channels, some of them are just sports or whatever, but some of them are YOLO, learn something, or futurism.
This, and I don't say this lightly, is dangerous. This thing is hypnotic. I turned it on and suddenly a lot of time passed. Just the from Reddit thing, it's hypnotic. This is what I flippantly called diarrhea television a while ago. Like just the ability to just nonstop flow of pleasing images to see over and over and over again. It's really a good, if they have stock, I want to buy it.
Leg numbing content is what I call it. When I'm on the toilet, content. I let it roll.
Until it all comes out. Yeah. It's not the first company to do this, mind you. And a lot of, like we mentioned, Pluto has done it. But Brian, it sounds like they're the first one to just captivate you, which is all about curation.
Correct, correct. They are the first to instantly, right now they're batting 1,000 on the curation I've seen. Every time I go to it, like even just now, there was images flashing up. I'm like, oh, I want to, what is, smart stuff. Meanwhile, Facebook's video app is still rolling out. This week it came to Apple TV. You could see videos recommended by friends on Facebook or live video.
Yeah, well, it's recommended by friends, recommended by Facebook, and then live video.
Right.
Stuff you save. You can't get all of Facebook on this thing. We've talked about it a million times, but now it's on Apple TV.
Right on.
Hey. Twitter is partnering with ESL and DreamHack. That's ESL, the esports league, not ESL, English as a second language, to broadcast esports tournaments and events live on Twitter. Saturday, Twitter streamed ESL's Intel Extreme Masters World Championship. Twitter will also broadcast a 30-minute weekly esports show featuring the latest highlights and behind-the-scenes footage.
Right on. You know, for as big a fan as I am of – what Twitter's trying to do with actually carrying the video of the electric events that everyone's tweeting about at a time. Maybe it's because I use TweetDeck. I rarely use the official app or whatever. I would have expected more prominent, like, from time to time, like, hey, Brian, the whole world is talking about this. If you want to see the thing that everyone else is watching, just click it. I would have thought that would have organically made its way into my experience, but it hasn't.
Yeah, and well, part of it is TweetDeck. That's a whole separate issue of what the hell are you doing with TweetDeck, Twitter? Like, it's an amazing tool, and you don't seem to be embracing it as your own.
It's the best. It's the Matrix. It's the actual reality I live in, yeah. Just flowing down.
Even if you're not using TweetDeck and you're using the Twitter app, say on your phone, the Explore tab is where I'm supposed to go. Am I supposed to know that, like, off the top of my head? It just, you're right. It's not clear how to get the stuff.
When there's football on, they do tell you at the top of your main feed, hey, there's Thursday Night Football. Do you want to watch? They're notorious for slow reacting to the things that they have and getting them in people's hands. Their Explorer is just a nightmare in itself. But I do know on the nights we have football, they do have that little blue tab alert. You know what I mean? You click it and it brings the game right up. Boom. So, you know, they'll get to it one day. And they haven't done anything good for TweetDeck in a long time.
Yeah, seriously, give a little love to TweetDeck. I live in TweetDeck, too. I'm just like you, Brian. All right, in all ways. I also have $3 and I live in Texas. Time for Dispatches from the Front.
Were you intentionally channeling the lyrics to White People Rich, living, got $3 living in Texas?
No, it was totally subconscious. Okay. That's absolutely where that came from, isn't it?
Yes, that is where that came from.
That was just tucked in a corner of my brain.
That's what Brian lovely. Is.
All he's right. Gregory writes in and said, hey, I appreciate the plug for Apple TV, but is the latest Apple TV 4 worth 5 times as much as a Roku Express or 3 times more than the Fire TV Stick? Just curious on your thoughts on price versus features. No, it's not. That's not even necessarily a fair comparison, though, because the Roku Express and the Fire TV Stick are a lot slower than the Apple TV. I think a more fair comparison would be the Roku Premiere, which is $80, or even the Roku Premiere Plus, which is $100. And then it's all about ecosystem and interface. The interface on the Apple TV is nicer. If that's super important to you, maybe it's worth the extra money. If you want the App Store and you live in that iOS ecosystem and you buy things on iTunes, then maybe the extra $50 to $100 or more is worth it. But if you're just looking for, like, forget about those things, what has the most power per dollar, it's definitely the Roku.
Well, and what's funny is I don't think I had really invested any energy or thought into price performance ratio. To me, it's all ecosystem, where it's like, you know, if this is where I'm going to live, whether it's $30 or $130 is all the same in my mind. Which makes it sound like, like, to me, the real investment is the investment of the time, effort, and energy to be in that. I see you mouthing words, Tom. To me, it's the emotional investment, not the dollar one, but that's why I say
it's not a fair comparison, because the only processor difference, and I have all of these, I have the Roku, and I have the Roku Stick, and I have the Fire TV Stick. The processor difference to me is between the sticks and the boxes. The sticks are definitely laggy and slower. They just don't have as heavy of a processor.
Agreed. Meanwhile, Chip writes, hey, Brian and Tom, my husband and I were talking about why Apple hasn't come out with a 4K Apple TV yet. He was wondering why it was taking them so long to get 4K capable hardware. I brought up a point where I wanted to share with you guys that I don't think has come up much when people talk about a 4K Apple TV. Content. The main reason Apple TV exists at all is as a platform to sell and consume iTunes media. Everything else it does is just to get the box into your house. So I argue Apple isn't going to put out 4K hardware until they have 4K movies and TV shows available in the iTunes store. So the real question is not why doesn't their box do 4K, but rather why don't they offer 4K content? I'm sure they can easily get 4K version of many movies and TV shows from the studios. Plus, I'm betting Carpool Karaoke and Planet of the Apps will be shot in 4K. The only reason I think I could think of that they don't have a smooth way to stream it to the customer yet. I disagree. I think they would want to make a big spectacle of it. As we all know, web dev- services are not Apple's strong suit, so maybe they are waiting until they develop a better delivery method and thus better experience, which is Apple's strong suit, before rolling out 4K. In true Apple fashion, I believe they will both be announced at the same time in a keynote. Correct. I do believe that's correct.
I disagree that Apple's main business is to sell you iTunes stuff. Their main business is to sell you hardware. And they have the App Store and iTunes stuff to sell the hardware. So they may be changing that. And so Chip may be onto something here. But generally, Apple wants to sell you hardware, and everything else they do is a way to get the hardware in there, which is why their hardware is more expensive. Going back to the Apple TV versus Roku. On the 4K thing, though, I think he has a good point that the delivery system for iTunes needs to be really good before they can go and do that. On the other hand, there's lots of 4K content that could be available in the Apple TV store from Netflix and Amazon and others. So if they had a 4K capable Apple TV, you'd have instant 4K content available.
Yeah. And the movies they sell you, if they have that available, they have all those movies, all the new movies that come out. So,
well, and also, you know, they're not unaware of I perceive it, and this is, I have nothing to back it up, but I perceive that demand for 4K is pretty soft. I mean, do you feel the same way, Tom?
I think that's more what Apple's mode of operations is. They don't jump into something until they're sure enough people are into it. Yeah. Or they think they've done it so much better than anybody else could, right? So they'll be an early adopter on something like USB-C for their own reasons, but they aren't going to do 4K when there aren't that many 4K televisions out there.
Right.
Our 4K is actually 5K, and it's three times thinner and lighter than any other 4K. That's why I'm wearing this black shirt with this black background. I am an Apple aficionado.
Steve Jobs.
Just so you know.
Steve Jobs, where did you...
Apple always does it. They come out with a device that's 4 years older than any other device on the shelves. They charge twice as much, and people still buy it. And I'm sitting here with my iPhone, so I should just shut up. Because this one's finally waterproof after 8 decades of waterproof cell phones. It's what Apple does.
Michael, a.k.a. Time Searcher, wrote in and said, just watch Cord Killers 158, and you were discussing digital personas of screen actors like Humphrey Bogart and Rob Lowe. I was immediately reminded of the farcical and magical science fiction film The Congress from 2013. It starred actress Robin Wright as herself, being offered the opportunity of being full-body digitized by a major motion picture studio. She agrees, and the plot thickens. If you want to know more, you can look it up on Wikipedia. He has the link in his email.
Meanwhile, Jeremy says, hi, Brian and Tom. I wanted to share my recent chicken challenge experience with DirecTV. I was on the plan that was costing me $115 a month. I found I could get the exact same programming through DirecTV Now for only $35. Unfortunately, it doesn't work with Roku, and that's our preferred streaming service or device. I set up a free trial of PlayStation View, and my family was ready to cut the cord. When I called to cancel, I told the representative that I love the service and would stay if they could reduce the bill closer to like $50. The rep said he could only give them a $10 a month credit for the next year. He thanked him, and Jeremy thanked him and said, sorry, but go ahead and cancel, and was given instructions for all that stuff. The next day, he had two representatives calling to get me back. He ended up getting to keep to the two boxes with the DVR at no additional cost, and gets the same programming minus the cooking channel for $53 a month. I don't understand why I had to completely cancel to get my bill cut in half, but I wouldn't have had the courage to do so without the information on your program. Hey, man, that's awesome. This is a new phase to the chicken challenge, is the credible threat. Like, it's not enough for you to call saying, I want to cancel, because maybe they're getting wise to that, and they'll be all like, we'll give you a little bit. Actually go through cancellation, and then you get the emergency, psych, come back. Well, $50 is fine.
Yeah, they are waiting longer to yell chicken than ever before.
Yeah.
That's essentially what's happening. Finally, from Mike, I'm your boss, but not a bossy boss. I just want to say you kids are doing a great job. Keep it up. I know you're backed up with TPS reports and all, but please try to find the time to fix the copier and watch Patriot on Amazon.
Right on. I like getting positive reports from our bosses.
Yeah, thanks, boss. And thank you, Owen J.J. Stone, a.k.a. O-Doctor, for being on the show. As always, a pleasure, my friend. What have you got going on to tell folks about?
Man, I got a whole bunch of stuff going on. I do a show after this show. It's actually an hour after, so I should try and piggyback to get all your fans. But I do a sports show on Monday nights on Diamond Club TV with Schlamus as my producer. You might know him from Retro Misery. And then on Wednesdays, I got Captain Sergeant Dockin McStuffin stuff producing Random Drinking. I brought that back. Both you guys have been on Random Drinking, mm-hmm. and we go in there and we watch funny Instagram videos, YouTube videos, and we drink. And we talk about the world. And then I got DocTales. Both you two have also been on DocTales. DocTales is an interview podcast where I interview people that are interested. I just had Becky Worley on. She's going to be on next week. So make sure you go ahead and subscribe to that on iTunes and such and get it in your life. I'm doing all kinds of content. I'm not as big as y'all, but I'm working out in these streets trying to be special.
Go check out the stuff. I love the sports show idea, by the way. That's cool. So it's just like general sports talk.
Yeah, every Monday night for an hour, we talk about all the big news in the streets. Me and my buddy Jason went to high school with the kids, so if you want to know any dirt, you could just tweet him, and he'll tell you stuff, then I'll beat him up. But, yeah, we talk about baseball, basketball, not hockey because I don't know that much about it, but he does. And we talk about all fun stories, and we give our opinions, and I yell it like I do. And I'm usually the fantasy Brian guy. He's usually the Tom Merritt, factual-based, boring guy. You know, we kind of mix ourselves together.
Everybody needs one.
As it were. Everybody needs a Tom Merritt. That's all
don't
I
call
know.
Tom Merritt the Tom boring Merritt. One.
Tom Merritt, I own it, man. When you're that's crazy, you don't read nothing. Tom be out here just scientificating, and you be out here floating in the clouds and swimming in oceans and stuff. Nobody takes you seriously, bro. You used to have spiky hair, do magic, and blame flames. Don't talk to me. Fair Tom enough. Merritt is all a serious business newsman. He's crazy.
Well, folks, if you aren't convinced already, you just got to stick to DiamondClub.tv on Mondays. It starts with the morning stream, then Weird Things, then Daily Tech News Show, then Hotline Monday, then Monday Music News, then Cord Killers, and then it's all wrapped up by Oh Doctor Talkin' Sports, DiamondClub.tv. Our website's cordkillers.com. Our email address is cordkillers@gmail.com. We're live on DiamondClub.tv Mondays, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We'll talk to you next time.
Hey, guys. Tom and Brian here. We just wanted to say thank you to all of our $5 patrons who keep us loud, live, and independent. You guys make Cord Killers the production that it is.
Your name appears in the video credits and appears in our hearts. And if you'd like to become one of them or see who they are, you can go to patreon.com/cordkillers.
You'll need to do more than just go there, though. You'll have to sign up and, you know, pledge an amount. But
unless you just want to see who they are.
Well, I mean, you could gawk. That's a little creepy, isn't it?
If you want to be a gawker,
let's go
with you.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.